Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something pretty fundamental. Bridges, you know, how they're looked after.
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually. We've got this collection of survey responses from all sorts of places, national road agencies, regional bodies, even a specific bridge trust and a railway.
And we're going to explore how they tackle, well, the huge job of keeping bridges safe and working.
Exactly. And what's striking is just how different the approaches are. Everything from, you know, basic manual processes right up to really sophisticated digital setups.
So lots of variety. We should probably expect some surprising details and interesting comparisons, right?
Definitely. Let's start with how often they actually inspect these bridges. That alone shows a huge range.
Okay, so frequency. What are we seeing?
Well, at one end, you've got places like the Korean Expressway Corporation, KEC, and KALIS, also in Korea. They're inspecting twice a year.
Twice a year. That's pretty frequent.
It is. And then you have others doing checks, certain types anyway, every 6 months, like the Northern Territory in Australia for some levels, and the Metropolitan Expressway Company in Tokyo.
Okay, but then it stretches out quite a bit elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. The Northern Territory, again, for their more detailed level two inspections, that can be every 5 to 7 years.
7 years apart. Wow.
Yeah. And South Australia is typically around every 4 years. Aspinog in Austria or New Zealand for their detailed principal inspections might only do those major ones every 6 years.
Hmm. It really makes you think about why there's such a difference. Is it traffic? Environment?
It could be all of those things. You know, the twice yearly in Korea might be down to heavy use, maybe seismic concerns, or just a very cautious approach.
Whereas the longer gaps, say, in the Northern Territory, maybe lower traffic, maybe the bridges were built really robustly to begin with.
Possibly. And it's not just frequency, it's the type of inspection. Norway, for instance, talks about simple versus main inspections.
Right. And Australia uses levels 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly, suggesting different levels of detail, maybe different tools or expertise needed for each level.
You mentioned New Zealand before. They have something called a hidden defects program. That sounds intriguing. What's that about?
Yeah, that suggests they're going beyond just looking. It probably involves non-destructive testing.
Okay, so things like ultrasound, radar.
Precisely. Ground-penetrating radar for concrete, ultrasonic testing for steel, things that find problems you just can't see. It's quite forward-thinking.
And some places tailor the frequency too, right?
Definitely. The roads department in Pays de Crown, France, they vary it based on the bridge's length.
Makes sense.
And SNCF, the French railway, they consider the structure type and how critical the rail line is.
Yeah, you'd expect a high-speed lines bridge to get more attention than, say, a small rural one. Quebec does something different again.
Uh-huh. They combine annual walkthroughs, sort of a quick check, with more in-depth, hands-on general inspections every few years.
So, balancing detail with the sheer number of bridges they have to cover.
Exactly. It's a logistical challenge. So, okay, they do all these inspections, but where does all that data go? That's the next big piece.
Right. Data storage and management. And you said earlier, lots of different systems here, too.
A real mix. Quite a few have developed their own custom databases.
Like who?
Well, Statens Vegvesen in Norway has Brutus. KEC in Korea uses a whole suite. HBMS, TMS, PMS.
Okay.
Northern Territory Australia has roads information online and TRIM. South Australia uses Structures Manager. Main Roads Western Australia has their BMS and IRIS. New Zealand uses AMPS and PEARL.
So many acronyms. Why build your own, do you think? Was commercial software not good enough back then?
That's likely part of it. Or maybe they just had very specific needs, very specific workflows they wanted to match perfectly. Building in-house gives you that control.
But not everyone does that. Oregon uses commercial software, you mentioned.
Correct. And then you've got almost the other extreme. Some places are still using basically folder systems to store PDFs and reports.
Really? Like who?
Tasmania, Hertfordshire in the UK, and even the Clifton Suspension Bridge Trust. Just simple digital filing, essentially.
And paper hasn't completely disappeared either.
Apparently not. Kalesix in Korea mentioned starting with paper alongside their digital system, and Infraestruturas de Portugal talked about having fragmented systems, different databases they're trying to bring together now.
Yeah, that sounds like a common headache trying to unify old records with new digital ways of doing things.
It really is. And that desire for better integration, making data easier to access and use, came up a lot. South Australia, Pays de Crayon, in France, they want things more connected.
SNCF, too, working with their provider.
Uh-huh. And Hertfordshire specifically mentioned the challenge of managing old paper records alongside the new digital stuff. It's a big data puzzle.
which kind of leads us naturally into BIM, right? Mm. Building information modeling, or BRIM for bridges. Mm. Is that starting to change the game?
It's definitely gaining traction, though maybe not universally adopted for management just yet. We see places like EICT in Korea, the Ministry of Public Works in Chile, and Quebec actively piloting it, exploring its potential.
So creating like a digital twin of the bridge.
Exactly. A detailed 3D model you can use not just to see the current state, but maybe simulating stresses, plan maintenance visually. It offers a lot.
But you said not universal yet. Why the hesitation for existing bridges?
Well, think about the cost and effort to create super detailed models for potentially thousands of older structures. SNCF and Caltrans, for example, use BIM mainly in the design phase for new bridges.
Ah, okay. So the model exists from the start.
Right, with the idea it could be useful for maintenance later, but organizations like Hertfordshire in New Zealand seem a bit skeptical about the immediate return on investment for modeling all their existing older bridges.
Capturing all that detail accurately must be tough for old structures.
It can be, but what is clear is a desire for better visualization of defects. Pays de Crayon, Kalis, Portugal, Asfenag. They all mentioned wanting tools to see where the problems are, maybe link photos or simple 3D views to reports.
And some are doing bits of that already. Transport Scotland has a map view.
Yeah, a map view where you can click on a bridge and get info. Chile uses tree prioritization charts, so it's not necessarily full BIM, but finding practical ways to visualize the key data.
Okay, so you've got the inspections, you've got the data, hopefully visualized somehow. How do they decide what actually gets fixed and, you know, who pays? Prioritization and budgeting must be tricky.
Hugely tricky. And again, different methods. Many use condition scores. The worse the condition, the higher the priority. KICT in Portugal mentioned that.
Makes sense.
Others focus heavily on risk. New Zealand, Transport Scotland, Hertfordshire, they use risk-based criteria. Hertfordshire even has a specific tool, SAVI, for this.
What does risk-based mean in this context? Is it just condition or more?
It's more. It considers the consequences of failure. So not just, is this beam cracked? But what happens if this beam fails? How critical is the bridge to the network? What's the traffic volume?
Gotcha. So Transport Scotland looks at load capacity. Mm-hmm. SNCF thinks about safety, potential deterioration.
Exactly. Tasmania considers network importance and heavy vehicle use. South Australia looks at regency. KEC balances budgets between regions. Chile uses technical reports and authority decisions. Clifton Suspension Bridge gets consultant advice.
Lots of factors, and budgets is always looming, right?
Always. Serbia explicitly said budget limits impact inspection frequency. Oregon said funding limits system expansion.
And those tools like SEV and Hertfordshire help justify budgets too.
Yes, helps establish need and prioritize where the money goes. It's also interesting that New Zealand, Hertfordshire, and Transport Scotland actually do annual valuations of their bridge assets.
Valuations, like figuring out what the whole bridge network is worth.
Sort of, yeah. It feeds into long-term financial planning, depreciation, understanding the investment needed.
Okay, but all these decisions, prioritization, budgeting, valuation, they depend on good data, don't they?
Absolutely critical. Garbage in, garbage out, right? If the inspection data isn't reliable, the decisions will be flawed.
So how do they ensure quality?
Several ways mentioned. New Zealand and Tokyo's Metropolitan Expressway Company validate data during the inspection itself. DRI in Slovenia and SNCF have specific quality control processes.
Checking the checkers, basically.
In a way, Tasmania audits the information that gets put into their systems. Chile uses cross-checks, maybe having a second inspector review findings. There is a clear understanding that data accuracy is vital.
Okay, so looking across all these responses, what are the big desires? What do these authorities want for the future?
A lot of common themes emerge. Better systems, basically. More automation and workflows, less manual data entry.
Yeah, I can see that.
Better data integration, linking different systems together. Enhanced visualization is a big one.
Making it easier to see the big picture and the specific problems.
Right. Also, things like automated valuations, better tools for tracking costs and quantities, models that can predict how quickly things might degrade.
Predicting the future, almost.
Well, trying to anticipate future needs more accurately. And just making it easier to plan construction and maintenance programs.
Were there any really specific needs that stood out?
Uh-huh. Hertfordshire, again, needing a system that handles both old paper records and new digital data seamlessly. Chile wanted standardized dashboards or boards. Germany's Staatliches Bund Kempten just wanted better overview dashboards for easier analysis.
So wrapping this up, It's kind of amazing how varied the approaches are globally.
It really is. Different countries, different climates, different funding levels, different ages of infrastructure.
Yeah.
It all leads to different solutions.
But underlying it all, the goal is the same.
Yeah.
Keep the bridges safe, keep them functional.
Exactly. And hopefully you listening have a bit more appreciation now for the sheer complexity behind that bridge you drive over every day.
Yeah, it's easy to take them for granted.
Yeah.
This survey really shows the challenges, but also the innovation happening.
Definitely.
So maybe a final thought for you to chew on. With technology moving so fast, AI, sensors, drones, better modeling, what could the future of bridge inspection and management look like? And how can all these different approaches we've heard about today actually help shape that future, maybe leading to even smarter, safer ways to look after these vital links? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.